hour with you till 4:30 today. Thursday night football, we got the Steelers and the Patriots, and we got Jerry Reynolds in today. It's great to have you in, as always, Jerry. And Kyle will be back with us tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be getting ready for the Kings and the Suns. And I feel like I've been learning a lot about French Lick, and you've always over the years educated us as to what happened in French Lick, what went on there, what it was like, where you were from and Larry Bird was from. But I mentioned this yesterday. Long story short, I'm reading this book on the 87-88 NBA season, which the guy wrote the book says it was the greatest season ever. But anyway, he says that because there were so many great teams playing at one time, including Larry Bird's Celtics. So he writes a lot about the beginnings of Larry Bird, and I'm learning about French Lick. They had a piano factory there, right? Yeah.
Kimball Piano Factory, and that really was a big employer at that time. It's closed now, yeah. And Larry's dad worked there for a period, Joe Bird.
And Larry Bird, according to this book, he was actually a better like slow pitch softball player than basketball. He's a phenomenal slow pitch softball player. He hit the ball a mile, and I think it said even played badminton or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure on any of that. You know, I know Larry was a good baseball player, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's how he got a crooked finger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on his shooting hand. And, of course, he said it helped him because it helped lock the ball in there. like an old gnarly catcher finger.
And then I know that, it's not in the book, but Larry Bird's grandfather taught you how to smoke?
Yes, he did.
And I know that you did the interview with Phantom where you talked about
Phantom and I talked about that. And Claude Bird. He was Larry's granddad.
But no one knew anything about Larry Bird yet, right?
Well, he was maybe 2 years old something. I don't know. Or maybe three or four. Anyway, I was 16 years old. So, but anyway, and I didn't really know Claude particularly. But anyway, I'd worked on a golf course, the Donald Ross course, which is right near our home. And so it was easy for me to bike down there and work. My job was to rake sand traps and mow bunkers. And so that's what I did.
Yeah.
And at lunch, at Claude and his buddy Shorty Taylor, they'd sat around and roll cigarettes, and smoke. And I asked him once, I said, how about me having one of those? And he said, yes, sir. He said, son, I'll roll you one. He said, now, under one condition, you smoke the whole thing. And I did. And that ended my smoking career.
Because you did get through the whole thing.
Oh, I always remember, I tried to get through it. But I, as I recall, too, that day, which I did a lot, but I started off and worked about a half hour after lunch and then rolled a mower into the woods and laid down for about an hour and a half. I was sick.
And that was Larry Bird's grandfather, but no one knew that yet at the time. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he knew he was Larry Bird's
grandfather. Right, but I mean, Larry Bird being Larry Bird.
Yeah, Larry,
That's incredible. Yeah. Larry, he did. He just kind of came out of nowhere. Right.
Yeah, he was a late developer, like a lot of the great players, the Tim Duncans or Elijah Wans, a lot of them were late developers because he was first time I saw him play in high school. He was a junior, about 6'3", 165 pounds, and he wasn't the top scorer on the team or anything, but great passer. I'd never seen like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the most underrated parts of his game in the pros. Probably a better, more creative passer. Anybody in the league for 10 years.
Were there some scouts that kind of just didn't take him seriously because of where his background and where he came out of the backwoods?
Well, not by senior year. He grew to 6'7" and averaged 33 points and 20-some rebounds.
That'll open some eyes.
And a lot of eyes got opened.
But you were one of the first, right, that saw what he could do, and I'd
offered him a scholarship. I was at West Georgia at that time. I offered him a scholarship after his junior year. I didn't, I just knew that even the way he was, if he put on 10, 15 pounds, he'd be able to play at a high-level college.
Yeah.
And so, but I know he always appreciated that I was the first to show interest in him. But then again, by the time, we were dropped from any consideration once Indiana and Kentucky and all of them started coming after him,
Which, but he appreciated the faith you had, and you kind of showed him that, you could – do something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that really made mainly. In fact, he grew 4 inches, and then of course later on, he grew another 2 inches. I mean, so he's really legitimately 6'9" and a half, I think.
Uh-huh. So could you, in your prime, could you have taken him?
Oh, of course. That's my story. I'll stick to it. Yeah. I mean, you can't prove anything different now.
We've got the in-season tournament going on here. Oh, what a game. The Bucks and the Pacers. It's all even here, early fourth quarter. But here's a question that players are split on here. If you win the in-season tournament, do you hang a banner? That's a question that players have been asked. Damian Lillard said he'd rather just take the money than hang a banner, right, for the in-season tournament. Tyrese Halliburton is excited about the idea of maybe hanging a banner if the Pacers are able to win this thing. However, he says, I think at this point in my career, because I haven't done anything yet, I'll take a banner. But certainly LeBron would not answer the same way, says Tyrese Halliburton. Willie Green, coach of the Pelicans, seems to agree with Tyrese Halliburton. He says, oh, that would be great, very exciting, if we could hang an in-season tournament banner up there from the rafters at the Smoothie King Center. What do you think, Jer? If you win the in-season tournament, is that worth hanging a banner for?
I don't believe so. You know, I really don't. I think it sends the wrong message, if anything. You know,
you say that's sacred ground, right?
Well, I think, you know, it's like, say, for the Milwaukee Bucks or the L.A. Lakers. I mean, you know they're not going to. Now, why would they not? Well, because they've won championships.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's at some point, let's say the Pacers would win and hang a banner, and then someday they win a championship. You've got the in-season tournament right next to an NBA championship.
Can you put it in the hallway or something, and in the concourse maybe, or
you'd have to take it down, move it somewhere, wouldn't you? Just would.
I guess so. I mean, but you would want to celebrate it.
Well, sure.
One of those teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any of them should celebrate it. It's a tournament, and everybody had the same chances, and they didn't accomplish it. So yeah, it should be celebrated, and it's an achievement, but it's not an NBA championship. Mm-hmm. And
it reminds me of what's happened in some baseball cities. You know, baseball, you win the World Series and you have a championship banner, or you win a pennant and then you have like division titles. I've even seen teams and they have like wild card 1980, whatever. It's like you don't hang a banner for being a wild card team. That just means you didn't win anything.
Well, that's like the thing. It's always thought Shaq always just got our goat, you know, for years.
I know where you're going.
You know, because we, you know, which I think should have been a conference championship, should have been a banner. It really belongs up there. But he'd come in and look and go, ooh, make like he's scared. You know, for teams that damn them, that would have won multiple championships, that's the way they'd see it.
Well, especially when they win the league championship in the year that you are hanging your little division banner and they're in your division.
Yeah, they're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they just had a knack of getting right to the crux of the problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. let's just hope the Lakers don't have a chance to hang this banner. What do you think, Jerry, as we look at the Western Conference standings here? The Kings, as we speak, are 11-8, sixth in the West. How does the West compare to what you expected to this point? I know we're only about a month in. Minnesota's on top. OKC, Denver, Dallas, Lakers, and the Kings are the top six. Is this kind of the way you thought it would look at this point?
No, of course not. I mean, I think there's three teams that have been just way better than I anticipated. Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Houston, I think. All three, you know, just didn't see them in those kind of places.
Minnesota is 16-4.
Best record in the league. So who saw that coming?
I did not.
But having said that, it's also true the Kings went into Minnesota and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
One of those four losses.
That's their only home loss.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the encouraging part is that, we've talked about it, is I don't think there's any great teams. There's 4, 5, 6, 7 really good teams, and I think that's why if you're a Kings fan, you can say, well, there's no reason we can't be among the elite, and it'd be true, I think. I mean, not sure you want to play the Pelicans ever again, but probably anybody else who appears.
Anybody but them. We'll continue to look at how the Kings fit into this when we come right back. Also, take a peek ahead to the Kings and the Suns. Tomorrow night, it's a drive, guys, rolling down the home stretch today on Sacktown Sports. Hey, let's face it. Tyrese Halliburton is becoming, he's becoming one of the bright young stars in the NBA. That's okay. It didn't work here, but we're seeing him shine today on the in-season tournament stage. He's not just becoming an excellent player. He's becoming a star. He's got kind of that charisma that only star players have.
Oh, no question. I mean, he really is a guy that the Pacers can build their franchise around, and that's what they plan to do and what they are doing. And this is a big year for Tyrese. I mean, last year he certainly was an all-star, but he has yet to play in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's...
But he's in the in-season tournament. Isn't that the same thing?
It really isn't. And he'd be the first to tell you that, I'm pretty sure.
All right, the Kings tomorrow night taking on the Phoenix Suns. We found out today the Phoenix Suns will be without Kevin Durant, and that's, you know, you don't wish an injury or ill will on anyone. Good news for the Kings as far as tomorrow night goes, but that's the thing about this season. Every game is so important because right now the Kings are 11-8, Phoenix right behind them at 12-9, so you just don't have any nights off, do you?
No, you don't, huh? And really, I think Grayson Allen's out too.
Yeah, that's right.
And he has really played well for them. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he's a knockdown shooter, so, you know, it's a good break for the Kings, and they've had a few days off. So, but to your point, I mean, yeah, the West is so good. Every night's a challenge. I mean, really, probably other than San Antonio, who just has really been a major disappointment. Everybody else seemed like they can get you.
The Trailblazers last night nearly pulled off a stunner. They were leading the Warriors most of the way, and then the Warriors just eked one out down the stretch. That was a surprise, and Steve Kerr after the game said, may have to make some lineup changes. Things aren't quite working out the way we wanted. The Warriors right now are sitting at 10-11, and we know what they're capable of, but they don't look very good so far this year.
No, it's been, I'm sure everybody there would say it's been disappointing. They're under 500, so that's not Warriors. And so, if you're Steve Kerr, you know, I don't know what you exactly do, but, you know, other than Steph Curry, I think you could change a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Coach Kerr, by his own admission, didn't have a very good game when the Kings just beat them to advance in the in-season tournament. He admitted, yeah, I probably should have left Moses Moody in. So that's just a sign of how Steve Kerr right now, he doesn't have the real feel for his roster that a coach, especially a coach who's been there as long as he has been, would like to have.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think a challenge that was wasted cost him a timeout. So
yeah,
there's a couple little slips that for a coach of his caliber. And you know, I think there's probably – a lot of people thought when he took Moody out after he had three straight threes.
Right,
he was
right.
Why, what?
Yeah, and even he had to admit that. I know as a coach, that's the last thing you want to do publicly, right? Because you got all these people like me that are watching. We don't know what we're talking about, and we're always criticizing coaches. And if you're a real coach, the last thing you want to do is publicly go, yeah, I was wrong, and all you yahoos were right.
Well, I think that's a sign of who he is, you know. I mean, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons he has so much respect.
Well, we're very close, you know, Steve and I. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, in the fact, when you won four championships, it gives you a lot of leeway mm-hmm. for mistakes.
Sure. The Clippers, where do you think, should we be taking them seriously? I mean, big picture, is a team that could really make some noise?
They could win it. I mean, now if they're healthy and – I mean, it looks like Harden's starting to fit in. You know, Kawhi's still probably not 100%. But, yeah, I mean, I really think they're a scary team. You know, mm-hmm. now they're still finding their way. But having said that, but it's also true, those guys, the key guys, have never been healthy for a full year. They have so far.
Mm-hmm.
But
we had a couple days ago, Mark Spears was on. He was at the game Monday. He said he thinks the Pelicans, said the way they played, if they stay healthy, he says that's a team that actually could compete for the top spot in the West.
They're, to me, it's kind of like a little bit like the Clippers in a sense that their three key guys, you know, Zion, Ingram, and McCollum, injuries have been a significant issue of the last, especially Ingram and Zion, the last 3 years. They just haven't been able to play majority of the games. And so if they can – they're a real threat.
They
absolutely
are.
Absolutely.
They are. Ingram's like, he's almost a Durant light, isn't
he's a,
he?
He is a kind of Durant Jr. He sure mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And then Zion's a one of one, kind of a unique, kind of a Charles Barkley of 2023.
OKC, maybe it's a little early for them, but I had them finishing, I think, in the top four this year. Obviously, they're very young, but Shea is tremendous. That's another team in the West that I think is capable of doing some big things this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I knew that Holmgren would probably help him. I didn't know he'd help him this much. I didn't think he's quite ready to, in my mind, be the clear rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's played much better than Wembanyama when you really look at the whole picture. And as you said, they've got, with Gilgeous Alexander, they've got a guy comparable to Halliburton, Fox.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic. I mean, he's in that same caliber.
Yeah, the Spurs, remember they had back-to-back wins against the Suns a couple weeks ago. They've only won one other game. They're 3-17.
Yeah, they just got to be thankful the Pistons are still in the league, don't they?
Oh, my goodness. What's up with Monty Williams? Pistons fans aren't too happy about all the money that the team gave Monty Williams, the coach.
Well, Monty probably is starting to feel like Jimbo Fisher or Jimbo from Texas A&M getting $80 million to go away. You know, it's like, yeah, that was always my goal. I was always hoping, you know, to get a get a 5-year, $20 million contract, and you know, I'd have been magnanimous if they fired me. I'd have said,
fine,
man, yeah, I deserved it. You waited too long.
Going forward, do you think the Kings need to get back in touch with the team they were last year, the offensive-minded team, or do they need to continue to try to become that grinding, gritty defensive team that Mike Brown wants them to become?
Well, I think if they can improve slightly on both sides of the ball, that's the best you can hope for, and I think they're capable of that, and I think that's what they want to do, and I think they can get a little better defensively. They're not going to be the top defensive team in the league. But, you know,
Keegan needs to get healthy, right? I mean,
and Keegan needs to get, you know, back to a better version of what he was as a rookie, which he hasn't quite got there because of injuries. So, and then I think Harrison's got to find his way. And I think Coach Brown has got to decide who he wants to play off his bench, get a little more stable rotation there.
Yeah, for the good of the players. Jerry, thanks for coming in. It's always educational, always, as you know, a lot of fun. So we appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime, you know, anytime I can spend time with you and when Phantom's not around,
that's a win. Huh?
That's a win-win.
Kyle Draper back with us tomorrow. We'll get you ready for the Kings and the Suns. And we got Thursday Night Football coming up on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.